The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 3rd, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Ken Norton, and I am going to fill in for the host just at the beginning of the show here. We had a little problem with the actual recording was missing the first 15 minutes, and so I am going to be making that again. My name is Ken Norton, and I'm the co-producer. Happy Women's History Month. And to begin the celebration, we have a special guest joining us on the phone, Dr. Jill Zingraf, the new interim executive director of the National Women's History Allowance, found here in Sonoma County. For the past decade, we have celebrated Women's History Month. I have interviewed the former ex-director and one of the co-founders of the National Women's History Alliance, Molly Murphy McGregor. Molly is now stepping down from this position, and Dr. Zingraf will fill in. Will fill this position, and I'm sure admirably. A special shout out to Molly for not only being a co-founder, but for having held the position of executive director for 43 years, and graciously insisted that Jill have this opportunity. For Jill to be on the show, I totally agreed, and it is an honor to be introducing her to our audience. A huge thank you to Molly McGregor, who will still be involved on board, for helping to spearhead this important program. We will be talking about the Women's History Alliance, which began as a women's history project, and the origin and changes she has seen and concerns around women's equality and choice for women in 2025 and moving forward. This year's theme is the National Women's History Alliance proudly presents Moving Forward Together, Women Educating and Inspiring Generations. This theme celebrates a collective strength and influence of women who have dedicated their lives to education, mentorship, and leadership. Through their efforts, they have served as an inspiration for all generations, both past and present. Here's a little history about the organization. In 1980, the National Women's History Project was founded in Santa Rosa by Molly Murphy McGregor, Mary Ruth's daughter, Maria Cuevas, Paula Hammett, and Betty Morgan, to broadcast women's historical achievement. The National Women's History Project started by leading a coalition that successfully lobbied Congress to designate March as National Women's History Month, which is now celebrated across the land. Today, the National Women's History Project has become the National Women's History Alliance, and is known nationally as the only clearinghouse providing information and training in multicultural women's history for educators, community organizations, and parents, for anybody wanting to expand their understanding of women's contributions to U.S. history. I'm now going to present some special events in March to remember that we're standing on the shoulders of these women. On March 1st, 1978, the Women's History Week is first observed in Sonoma County, California. March 1st, 1987, Congress passes a resolution designating March as Women's History Month. March 3rd, 1913, Women's Suffrage Parade in Washington, D.C., where over 8,000 women gathered to demand a constitutional amendment guaranteeing the right to vote. On March 4th, 1933, Frances Perkins becomes United States Secretary of Labor, the first female member of the United States Cabinet. And on March 8th, we have International Women's Day, whose origins trace back to protests in the United States and Europe to honor and fight for the political rights for working women.
And I'm going to read some March birthdays for our standing on the shoulders of. On March 1st, 1945, and she passed away in 1997, is Nancy Woodhull, editor of USA Today. She promoted women for leadership positions in public and private sectors with the motto, "Do something to help another woman every day." And she founded Women, Men, and Media, a research and outreach project with Betty Friedan in 1988. On March 4th, 1948, and she passed away in 2005, is Jean O'Leary, lesbian and gay rights activist, founder of Lesbian Feminist Liberation, one of the first lesbian activist groups in the women's movement, and was an early member and co-director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and co-founded the National Coming Out Day.
Well, you know, something that's so important, Ken, you know, we don't realize how important it is to acknowledge our lesbian sisters. You know, they've had a real, real, real struggle, that's for sure. Well, can we take a musical break? Do we have any music?
Let's see if we can get the music done now.
Let's see if we've got the music.
What's the first song?
We have the first song. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a musical break, and we have Dr. Jill Zilcraft, who's going to be our guest. She's the new executive director for the National Women's History Alliance, which began at the National Women's History Project. And like we said, it was brought here in Sonoma County, and we are just amazed to celebrate a whole month of women's history. And so let's go ahead. We're going to play one of the songs that is very important, you know, during Women's History Month, and that is Helen Reddy's song, "I Am Woman." You know, that song just spurred a whole nation. Are we able to get that on, Ken?
I can't find it.
It's in the history. Oh, I'm telling you something. This has just been a wild morning. It just has been a wild morning. I mean, we've had more fun this morning. You know, Ken has a piece of property up in Laytonville, Lake County, and we had to get all kinds of things. They had a little issue up there when we first got up in the morning, and then me not having any vision, which is really interesting. Are we going to go into the music? Okay, here we go with Helen Reddy and "I Am Woman."
Hear me roll in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go. I am
Well, it looks like we're having a little bit more difficulty this morning. We're trying to get Dr. Jill Jankovic-Graff on the phone, and unfortunately, the phone is not. She's not there. I don't know what's going on, but she's not there, and I'm sorry to hear that. But anyway, let's continue. You know, Ken, I think what the most important thing is, I think that we need to play some songs today on National Women's History Month to celebrate it. And one of the songs that for the centennial in 2020, which celebrated 100 years since women got the vote, one of the songs that was chosen was Standing on the Shoulders by Earth Mama. Is one of my favorite songs in the world. And what I love about that song is because it reminds us that we are standing on the shoulders of so many great women. You know, so many women have sacrificed so much to get us where we are today. And it's mind-boggling when you think that here we are in 2024 and so many of our rights to choose have been taken away from us. You know, this whole issue on abortion has been just mind-boggling to me. It's been just beyond the pale that I don't understand why there is so much rigmarole around having an abortion versus having children that have health care, have good lunches in their schools, have a good education. I mean, all these things that we have a regime right now that's trying to pull back. So it's very difficult. It's very difficult for women today. You know, they really have a struggle. And I believe it's possible to come back, because if we recognize whose shoulders we're standing on and what it took for us to get where we are. I mean, I'm going to tell you a quick story before we play Standing on the Shoulders.
And just give a station ID.
We're going to give this station ID? Okay. We are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and we're doing a show called Women's Spaces. And today we're having just a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're going to overcome it just by continuing on the show and hoping to give you some really good information. So here's a little story I want to tell. I had an aunt who was married, very happily married, had three children, and her husband was working for a very esteemed corporation, and suddenly they wanted to transfer him. And he was not willing to go because my aunt was not willing to leave her family, which is typical. You know, you don't want to leave your family and go all the way back east, and you don't know what's going to happen. And so there was a big rigmarole about that. And so my uncle had to retire. He had to retire from the company. He had to quit. And they made him sign an agreement that he would not take another job for the next 5 years. Well, in that interim time, he kind of went a little bit wacko, to the point where he became very schizophrenic, and he started thinking certain things were coming through the television that were going to hurt his daughter and all kinds of craziness. And at the time, I had just given birth to my own child, my own daughter, Susan. And so it was really a real mess in the family at that time. And so what ended up happening, what we ended up doing is we decided that we were going to give them support, and boom, wouldn't you know it, my aunt got pregnant. Well, she was hysterical. How could she have another child? She already had three that she had to take care of. She didn't know what to do. So what she decided to do was she wanted to have an abortion. So she comes to me and my mother, and she talks about it, and she says, this is what she would like to do. And I said to her, I said, you know, this is very interesting. How are we going to do this? So I called a friend, and of course, they hooked me up with somebody who did what they called a backdoor, an abortion. And so we go, and we end up going to this woman's house, and it was kind of in a poor neighborhood. And, you know, we were trying not to make judgments. We finally come to the woman's house. She finally does whatever procedure she's going to do. And lo and behold, my aunt comes home and was waiting for you go. When you had one of these abortions, you had to go into labor and then the baby would abort. My aunt goes into labor, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, blood spurts out all over the room. You know, we call the emergency room. The nurse on the line says it's time. It sounds like an abortion. If she comes in, we're going to have to try to save her and the baby, whatever kind of information we gave. And my mother and I were just hysterical as we hung up the phone. But fortunately, the baby was aborted, and that was the end. That was the end of the story. And we rushed my aunt to the emergency room, and she had to have two blood transfusion. And there was a point where we didn't know which way it was going to go, whether she was going to survive or she wasn't going to survive. Well, that impacted me. You know, and then when all of a sudden the idea of abortions being legitimized, you know, where it was legal, where women had a right to choose for what was over our bodies, well, you better believe that I would be the first one out there marching for it, because I remembered what happened to my dear aunt, and I didn't want that to happen to another woman. And it was so interesting. As I'm marching, I had my little girl. I was holding her. Somebody threw a glass bottle at me with a fetus. Well, I almost fainted. I could not believe it, that this happened. But, you know, that's one story of many. You know, if you listen to many, many women who have gone through this process, particularly around the 60s and the 70s, you hear all these stories because women finally came out of the closet, admitting that they had abortion and admitting what was happening behind that horrible, I think, decision. Because any woman that has to make that decision, I've never met them dancing out, "Hey, I'm going to go get an abortion." No. It's a lot deeper than that. And I know myself on a personal level, I had to have one when I was in my 30s. And I, to this day, I think about, was it the right thing? Was it the wrong thing? But it doesn't matter. I was still able to go on with my life and raise my daughter in a level of quality that I'm forever grateful for. And I don't know if I would have had that baby if I could have done that, or I could have taken care of another child. So, you know, we make decisions, and they're not easy. They are really not easy. So when we listen to this song, "Standing on the Shoulders" by Earth Mama, to recognize how many women before us, how many women struggled with the idea of not being able to buy property, not being able to get birth control. I mean, when I went to get birth control, my husband had to sign the paper that it was okay with him. I had no right to my own decisions. At one point, we couldn't even own property. And there were many women who stood up, who put their lives on the line so we could have what we have. And Earth Mama put together this wonderful song, which made it to, again, this is one of the songs that was chosen from 2020 as one of the theme songs. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play "Standing on the Corners," and we will once again try to get a hold of our guest, "Standing on the Shoulders," sung by Earth Mama.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge, when we know that by our efforts things will be better. Liberty, I will stand.
Have to give another shout out to Molly McGregor. Oh my goodness, to think that they started the women's to get Women's History Month for a whole month. I mean, what an amazing feat. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And, you know, we've had a little bit of difficulties, but, you know, persistence and insistence, we keep going. So welcome back, and joining me on the phone is Dr. Jill Zinkgraff. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. And I'm so sorry about that first phone call. It came through and then dropped, and so I was just waiting. I apologize.
Hey, listen, we're on the air now, and that's the most important thing.
Thank you for your patience.
And, you know, one of the things that's happening is I'm having a little bit of trouble with my vision right now. So what I would like you to do, usually I introduce the guest. I mean, you're the new executive director for the National Women's History Alliance, which is so exciting to me. But I cannot read the script right now. So can you tell our listeners just a little bit about you? I know you have a doctor's degree. If you could tell us a little bit about that. And also, how did you discover the Women's History Project at first, and how did you get involved, and what are some of your goals and some of your ideas?
Wow. Okay, sure. So my name is Jill Krakow-Zinkgraff, and I spent most of my life in the field of interpersonal violence, working in the social profit sector. And I've held positions everywhere from working in direct client services all the way through administration up until recently, I left my position as executive director, CEO of the Domestic Abuse Sexual Assault Crisis Center of Warren County. And during my time there, I came on the board to serve of the National Women's History Alliance. And so the rest is history of how I got involved with them. And while I was serving on the board, Molly had shared that she wanted to retire shortly. And at that time, I was transitioning out of the field and trying to figure out what my next role was going to be. And so I had spent most of my life working in the women's movement. And I had started in women's studies many, many years ago and was teaching in the women's studies department and obviously fell in love with it. And for the first time, I had learned about all these amazing women that came before me whose shoulders I stood on. And what it really gave me, and why I'm so passionate about it, was it gave me language to make sense of my world. And I thought that that knowledge was so important that I wanted to share it with others. And I always thought that my education was such a gift. I was a non-traditional student. And so when I made the decision to go back and study post-grad, I wanted to do something that for the sustainability of nonprofit organizations, or what I call social profit organizations, because they're so important. And I came across a program called Organizational Leadership, which is where I got my doctoral from. And I'm able to use and apply so much of what I've learned into my day-to-day operations of the National Women's History Alliance.
Well, that's an amazing story. I mean, amazing way that you finally got to finding out about the Women's History Project here in Sonoma County, which we're very, very proud of. And, you know, it's fairly, very interesting, Jill. It's okay if I call you Jill, isn't it?
Of course.
You know, it's very interesting, Jill, that when you start looking into women's issues and women's studies, it's so interesting to me how little information we had prior to when the Women's History Project came into being. So it's an amazing, amazing process that they went through to get there. But, you know, what I find is so interesting about your appointment is here you're coming into a Women's History Project at the time when it feels like a lot of our women's history is just being burned. You know, it looks like they're just trying to take away some of the gains that we have had. How is that affecting you, and how is that affecting the Women's History Project or the Alliance?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I first learned about the National Women's History Project, believe it or not, in my late teens. I hate to date myself, but I will. And it really changed the way in which I looked at the world, right? It gave me the opportunity to understand really where I came from and also where I wanted to go. And what I would share with you, even when I was teaching in the Women's Studies Department in the early 2000s, we saw some of the backlash of what you're talking about now. We're just feeling it more perhaps today. But I would tell you every time, and when I think about, you know, the 80s and Susan Faludi's book, Backlash, we can see a lot of the comparisons. I think every time women start to gain momentum and pick up speed, barriers are put in their way. And so, right, and how it impacts us is it gives us the fuel to say, no more. We won't go back because we know differently. And so, you know, Maya Angelou said that when you know differently, do different. And so we know differently today. And so the fight is real. And, you know, I hate to use that word fight, but in order to keep women in the public discourse, we have to keep talking about it. You know, Molly always shares that for many, many years, and even today, that women's history is written in invisible ink. And it is incumbent on us to continue to say their names and tell their stories.
Well, you know, that's why it's so important every year that when we're for Women's History Month, that we try to honor and acknowledge. I even do a section called Our History is Our Strength to make sure that women are aware of what it took for us to get where we are. And also not to be afraid if there is some pushback, because we know what it's like to struggle and we know what it's like to move forward. And once you give up, you know, then it's over. So you don't want to give up. You want to keep moving, and you have to realize, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. I was teaching a class. Well, I was involved in Sonoma State in 1973 to 1975, and that was really the height of women's studies when it was really starting to happen. Our director was a woman by the name of Ann Neal, who was just an amazing woman who really took us into the depth of what it was like to be a woman and what the struggle was all about. And so what she made it possible for all of us to teach classes, and one of the classes I taught, because I was a single mother, and there were many single mothers coming back to school trying to get education at that time, because Dr. Lyndon Johnson had made available so many different grants for women. It was really a very productive time. And I taught this class, Survival as a Mother, and I was picking it. I was picketed, you know, because they wanted, you know, they wanted men in the class. And so what I did was, is I did a chart. I said, okay, there are so many minutes, there are so many hours in a day, so many minutes, so many seconds. And then I wrote it down. You mean to tell me twice a week we can't sit for 45 minutes with just women? And that kind of ended it. But I was stunned by the protest. And now when I look back on it, I realize that was was going on, was the idea that women were getting a voice, and that there was a very little tolerance for that. Would you agree with that at that time? And also, right now, it feels there's that kind of intolerance.
Well, right. Yeah. It's complicated, right? I think I don't have an easy answer for that. I think that what I know to be true in all my presentations, and I spoke for many, many years on interpersonal violence. If I speak only to women, the conversation is different than when men are in the room. It doesn't make it good or bad. It just makes it different. And so reserving spaces where women can express and fully how they feel without fear is really very important, because the psychology and the depth of, you know, the trauma of just being a woman in our society is very real and very important, and we have to acknowledge it. And so if what women need are spaces, then we should give it to them. And so it is always interesting is that when there is exclusion, that happens. And so the picketing is very hard for me.
Well, let's move back to the Women's History Alliance. I mean, that to show, to demonstrate after all that we're saying prior to this question, is how does that play into what you're saying, keeping everything alive with the Women's History Alliance? What part does that play? How do you see the importance of that program? And also, how do you feel women need to get more involved in it, or more involved in whatever process is going on right now?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we need men in the movement standing next to us, right? And so we also need their voices, their perspectives, their collaboration. And so we need to do this together. And so I think that, you know, in most of my life, right? And so I started in the movement a long time ago, and it was exclusionary, and that didn't work. And so I think if we want a different outcome, we have to do this differently. And so if we go back to your question, the reason that speaking women's names is so important is because it is the power of those names and the work that they did that we get to stand on those shoulders and move it forward for the next generation. Because we're always supposed to leave it a little bit better. And I think we could do this together. I think that we've become so divisive. You are either or as opposed to both and. And I think that there's a place for both. Right? It just has to be respectful. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's what the Alliance is trying to do, is showcase women and the historical achievements, and understand what is happening today that will be history tomorrow for other people to follow.
What, you know, both of us, you know, myself, I mean, I'm in my late, my middle 80s, and March 18th, I'll be 85. I can't believe it. So, you know, we've been around a while, and we've watched different things come into being. I mean, I was born in 1940. You know, ever since the day I hit the earth, there's been wars going on. You know, women were oppressed. My mother suffered from that oppression in her own life. You know, she had more ambition, and it really was squashed on so many levels. In fact, it was so interesting when my father made his transition, my mother became a whole different person. All of a sudden, she was free to go to work and do her own thing. It was an own property. It was amazing. In fact, she even said to me one day, I can't believe I can finally own a piece of property. So, you know, what is it? What do you think that women need today? I mean, a lot of it is, I think a lot of this happened is because of complicity. And complicity comes oftentimes when, you know, things are just put in front of you and you just take them for granted. You know, I think that's a human condition. But what do you think women right now, particularly in supporting the National Women's History Alliance, what can they do? How can they participate? How can they support this your program, and what other ideas that you might have that women can get involved with to help overcome some of this stuff? There's already a pushback. How can they help?
That's such a great question. I always see our role as, you know, as being the conduit of connectors, being able to connect people with organizations that are doing this type of work, right? And so what I would say is we're here to support what people need. And so I know that, you know, from some of our perspectives, we need people to get into politics. We need people to vote. We need people to get involved in the other nonprofits that are out there that are doing this work. We need people, right? We need lots of volunteers. We need donations. And so we just need people to get involved, to do something. Not everyone has to do everything, but if everybody did something, we could shift the world just 1 degree on its axis, which is what we need.
Well, how can they support the National Women's History Alliance? What can they do? I mean, how can they be involved? I know one of the things that I find is absolutely amazing when I look on the website. I see there are so many, so much information there, so many books you can buy, so many posters you can get, so many cards you can give out. What are some ideas that how people can support the National Women's History Alliance, and how can they do that?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. So there are a couple.
We like big questions.
I love these questions. All right, so you can volunteer. So you can go right to our website. We have different volunteer opportunities. Particularly, we're looking to develop like a speakers bureau so that people on behalf of us can go out into their local community and speak about Women's History Month, but women's history all year. Not just during the month of March, it should be every month we're talking about this. And additionally, we have, you can become a member and member benefits. If you are part of an organization or a business, you can become a partner and partner with other organizations and get your name out on a national platform. We have the opportunity just to be a donor, come to our webinars, and our other events that are happening. And so I think that's a really good start. Yes, we have bookshop.org. We have an account there. And so if you go on there, a small percentage of your purchase comes back to the National Women's History Alliance. We rely on these donations to continue our work. Really important. Grants are very difficult to come by right now. As everyone knows, just is. And so every dollar matters.
Well, I'm going to ask you another big question.
Okay.
And this is aside from the National Women's History Alliance, but this is a personal question. You know, it takes a lot of tenacity and a lot of courage to speak out on behalf of women, particularly in these times. I mean, you're in a position right now where it's not quite as easy as it was once it became more acceptable. It seems like it's kind of being, they're trying to put it on the back of the bus, so to speak. But just on a personal level, where do you personally get your courage and your inspiration? I mean, what women have inspired you to be able to do the work and to be able to transcend the fears that oftentimes come up when stuff like this takes place?
Oh, that is a huge question. And I'm so fortunate in that I have tremendous mentors that surround me and allow me in their circles. I am so grateful. But here's what I would say. Aside from, you know, my immediate family, my mother, my aunts, my cousins, I would share that my daughters are and provide a tremendous amount of support and give me courage. But I would tell you Molly Murphy McGregor. Every day I wake up and think that she has started a legacy during a time when, you know, it was hard to be so courageous. And Molly was. And Molly continues that courage every single day. She does this work. And she really, you know, is the wind that guides me each day, as well as the other board members that serve. They are incredible, and so I feel so drawn to do the very best that I can on behalf of all of them.
Well, you know, you made a very interesting point, and that is when women gather, they give each other courage. They give each other, and they give each other purpose. And you said something very interesting also. You said you were afraid for your daughters. In other words, you're looking at the future. You know, we can't help but look at the future. I mean, we had it set. So our daughters were moving along. I mean, I can't believe some of the newscasters that are being laid off. I mean, this whole thing around DEI and all that other stuff is just mind boggling to me. I mean, we need some sort of balance. And if human beings would just come forward and just do what was right, then we wouldn't have to have all these different organizations or the different rules. So I think that's really important to recognize that, you know, you're worried about the future for your daughters. I myself have become a great grandmother to two daughters, and I have a third one coming on the way to my own granddaughter. And so I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, wow, what is their future going to be? So it's very important that the first thing that we have to think is what future are we setting up for our children by some of the actions that we are doing today. So I think that's a very, very important point. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing so honestly. And, you know, I love big questions and I love bigger questions and I love the way you answered them. And I think I just want you to appreciate it very much. So we're coming to the end of our segment. So why don't you take any last words, anything that you'd like to say, any websites you'd like to direct people to, anything that you feel is important?
So a couple things, everyone. So grateful for our time together, Elaine. And please visit us at NationalWomen'sHistoryAlliance.org. If you feel so inclined, please get involved. There's room for everyone, and we welcome you. And just know that there is a whole group of us every day fighting on behalf of everyone.
So give us our website one more time and how they actually can get a hold of you personally and then also the website.
Sure. It's National Women's History Alliance, all spelled out, .org. National Women's History Alliance, .org. And you can reach me at Jill, J-I-L-L, at National Women's History Alliance, .org.
And I think it's very interesting that I didn't realize you're having a speaker. I'll have to send you some information on myself to let you know.
I would love that.
You know, because, you know, especially the most important thing is that women need to speak out and to have a voice. That is the most important. Well, thank you so much for being a guest here on Women's Spaces, and I want to wish you all the luck on your new position and know that Women's Space is available for you. If you need any announcements or anything that's going on, please do not hesitate to let me know. I'm always happy to announce, and anytime you feel that you need to be on the air to give a message or anything, please just contact me.
Thank you. Thank you. Be well.
And thank you, thank you, thank you. What a great interview. I want to thank Dr. Jill Zickraft, right?
Zickraft.
I announced the name right. I swear to God, you know, Ken just wants to beat me up. So, Ken, do you have that song, Let There Be Peace on Earth? I want to end the show. You know, we've offered a lot of information. I just think that as far as I'm concerned, every woman out there needs to support the National Women's History Alliance. I mean, this is our livelihood. This is our history. We must not let it fade away. We must make it get stronger and stronger and stronger. And our highest priority, particularly for the future of our children, like at Women's Spaces, we say at the end of the show, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. So I'm going to play a song here. It's called Let There Be Peace on Earth. And then we're going to end with that. And that song is going to end. We'll probably go right into our theme song, Ken. How's that? So we're going to go ahead and play Let There Be Peace on Earth. Go ahead, Ken.
In a field of corn, in the land of the Cherokee. I did my chores, but I knew there was more than my eyes could see. I married young, he was brave and strong, but he died fighting for his creed.
took his place, but I vowed someday that we would live in peace. Let there be peace, let there be love, let life fly free as the morning dove. Let every heart hear this song I sing. Let there be love, let there.
The next song we'll play will be The Times They Are A-Changing, a Bob Dylan tune. It is performed by the Brothers and the Sisters. Play Singing for Our Lives by Holly Near.
We are singing, singing for our lives.
So now let's hear from Sandy Rapp as she sings Remember Rose, the song for choice.
Find it turned up dead, so the paper said in Texas. Find it turned up dead after Medicaid restrictions took her choice away. Televangelists and the politics made Jenny Jimenez an orphan. Praying in the light, bombing in the night, they wave their roses red, but Rose is dead. Get your laws off me, I'm not your property. Don't plan my family, I'll plan my own. I don't want to be in your theocracy. Remember liberty, remember Rose. Many more will go by the way of Rose, and the ones that went before her. Unless a course is set, present and direct, because the chill wind blows and Rose is dead. Get your laws off me, I'm not your property. Don't plan my family, I'll plan my own. I don't want to be in your theocracy. Remember liberty, remember Rose. Many more will go.
Many more will go.
By the way of Rose.
By the way of Rose.
And the ones that went.
And
her.
The ones that went before her.
Unless a course is set.
Unless a course is set.
Present and direct.
Present and direct.
Because the chill wind blows and Rose is dead. Get your laws off me, I'm not your property. Don't plan my family, I'll plan my own. I don't wanna be in your theocracy. Remember liberty, remember Rose. Get your laws off me, I'm not your property. Don't plan my family, I'll plan my own. I don't want to be in your theocracy. Remember liberty, remember Rose. Get your laws off me, I'm not your property. Don't plan my family, I'll plan my own. I don't want to be in your theocracy. Remember liberty, remember Rose. Remember liberty, remember Rose.
You've been listening to Women's Spaces. We'll end the show with our theme song, The Woman in Your Life Is You, by Alex Dobkin.
The joy that is coming to you is not a woman in your life, but she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting and she'll take you home now.
The The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 3rd, 2025.